From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, September 10th, 2013. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief today at the .map Conference in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor at the same place.
There were deals, mergers, acquisitions, and venture capital money flying last week, from the Microsoft-Nokia deal to three small remote sensing companies merging to become a bigger firm. We're going to tackle all of those and more, but first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agol-eval.
So, Adina, last week we saw three deals go down, some very big, some not so big, all with perhaps some major implications, some minor implications in the world of location technology. Let's start with the big enchilada. Microsoft paid $7 billion and change for what the Wall Street Journal calls a bargain for Nokia's mobile phone business. Microsoft bought everything from the manufacturing and distribution, design, operation, sales, marketing, everything related to the mobile business. That business comprised some 32,000 people. But the interesting part of the deal is that Nokia's location technology business, formerly called Location and Commerce, formerly called Navtech, now called HERE, came into play as it was recognized as one of the three major business units kept by Nokia, primarily for the revenue it generates from its licensing business for map data, as well as the HERE auto platform that they're positioning for the connected car. But sticking with the mapping business, Microsoft has Bing. It has the Vixel digital aerial cameras. It's effectively in the same space. And even TechCrunch said HERE was clearly designed to be more than just a Google Maps equivalent. Why didn't Microsoft buy HERE and bring it under its wing?
Well, I know that's been your big question that you've been asking since this was announced, as have other people. Here's my best guess, and it has to do with Microsoft not really being a data company. And I will back that up by saying that we were all sort of surprised when Microsoft bought the Vexcel business, the aerial cameras.
Yeah.
And we thought, oh, well, maybe they're going to get into the data capture business and fly their own data and sell data to states and do that sort of thing. And while they did some of that, I believe it was the state of Michigan that actually did pay Microsoft to do the flying, that really has not turned out to be the way they use that business. They use that business as they sell cameras.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I've also not seen Microsoft be as entrepreneurial as Google has using crowdsourcing for geospatial data. They just haven't had that whole feel. In fact, I just saw today a press release about Microsoft's Bing Maps signing on another data partner. So they don't seem to want to be in that business. And I'm not sure that's a bad choice, except that, as we know, there's an awful lot of good business reasons to be the owner of the data set and the process that creates the data set.
Right. And I would think that that would be a sizable chunk of change. And I think, as we've learned, it's one of the major reasons why Nokia kept the HERE brand for its licensing and patents and the revenue would generate from licensing the data itself. It just seemed to be the missing piece in the mobile business. And if Nokia was exiting the mobile business, why not jettison that piece off as well? It seems to be a bit of a head scratcher for me. I can rationalize why Nokia kept it, but I can't rationalize why Microsoft wouldn't want it.
Or didn't do more to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I can see sort of two potential answers to that. One is, they want it, but they don't want it now. So the timing was bad to get that chunk, and they want to digest this chunk first, the hardware side.
Yeah.
And the other one is, Microsoft is beginning to think that this whole data business is becoming sort of a commodity thing, such that there are a handful of different global, if you like, data sets. So you got your TomTom, you got your HERE, you got your OpenStreetMap, you got your Google. There's four right there.
Yeah.
Okay? So maybe in the long term, the potential isn't as big. And, of course, Nokia is making a different argument that this business has a lot of potential. And I would say Nokia has not realized that potential since its acquisition of Navtec, but they still see it out there.
Yeah, and certainly what I would see is that the recognition that here is a major component of the business gives them a little leeway to, for more investment and really expand that business beyond what it is today, raise the awareness, make it a real thrust of
the
company.
Make it a real brand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just look at the coverage of this story that everybody had to say here. Oh, you don't know what that is? That's the mapping part of Nokia. Oh, you hadn't heard of that? Nokia has not done a good job in getting that brand to be a major brand.
Yeah, and And if nothing else, this is exactly what that did for the company. Let me go on to the next topic, which is a very small company, IL411. It's an indoor positioning company. It leverages existing Wi-Fi infrastructure and sensor information of the mobile phone in supporting retailers and delivering couponing and other loyalty-type programs. It raised $6.3 million. I'll tell you, Adina, the thing that tickled my fancy most about this deal, because the primary driver for the money was a company called Cultivation Capital. This was the company that led the Series A investment. Of the money, they were joined by St. Louis Archangels, Billiken Angels, and the Springfield Angel Network, all of which are based in the hotbed of intellectual capital for the mobile market is St. Louis. So I was really pleased to see that an area other than the Bay Area was active in providing funds for a startup in the location business. One of the things that came out of that, and it was mentioned by a researcher from Forrester, Tony Costa, who said that from a consumer's perspective, the need is simply not as crucial, and he was referring to indoor mapping as being a major business, and will indoor positioning ever become a major factor for consumers? I, of course, totally disagree with this and think it was totally short-sighted, but I was pleased to see that IL411 got the venture funding. I just think it has enormous impact that now we're seeing some real backing, some real money coming into the indoor positioning market.
Yeah, and this is a really interesting one to watch because there really are two sides of it. There's the side of the vendor that wants to make more money by having these maps, and according to the founder of IL911, retailers lose 20% of potential sales due to shopper navigation woes. Okay, so we don't buy because we can't find the thing.
Can't find it, yeah.
Now, I don't know where that data comes from, but that's 20% more potentially income for the retailer, so yeah, you'd want that. On the other side of the coin, is the consumer going to go through the process of getting the app or using the app to actually find what it is they're looking for? Because that's a different obstacle, if you will. It's a barrier to entry there. And the last thing that I think is really interesting about this whole conversation is that the money is for the mapping. It's for mapping the stores.
Right.
And I think people forget that just having indoor positioning or just having a GPS system is only, I would argue, it's a third of the battle, because you also need to know what is where. That is, you actually have to create the map, and that's where we've really fallen down, I think, on a lot of this indoor locating. Is building the maps is hard, and building the maps as products move throughout the store or new products come in, that's hard, and that's what IL411 is doing.
Right, and as this, when the CEO was mentioned, was interviewed on CNBC's Squawk on the Street, he was asked that question. You know, products move. What happens when things aren't as you mapped them the first time around? And what he said was that retailers are getting much better at store planning, and what he was referring to was the planogram and the layouts of how products get placed on shelves, and how that's tied into the inventory system. And you see, that's where I see the potential. That's why I think the guy from Forrester was a little short-sighted. As these tools become more integrated with the back-end inventorying system.
Which is, again, what our 411 does.
Right. I think that's where the potential lies. Now, the user interface, as you mentioned, will become a critical piece. Will you actually use it to go find it? But I think the opportunity is there, and I think they'll continue to improve the product.
Well, and the other thing that's pushing this whole move is that stores are getting bigger.
And
I don't just mean the Lowe's and the Home Depots and the Costco's, the giant box stores, but even the smaller stores are getting bigger. So, for example, here in Cambridge, we just got a new Walgreens. It's two floors. Right? We don't have any space here in Cambridge, so the fact that they were going to make that investment, they had to redo the whole thing, they had to put in escalators, it was a huge investment, but the thing is huge, and just trying to find the Q-tips is no longer trivial.
Well, we'll see if aisle 411 can solve that problem. The last topic I want to talk about is a merger that happened this last week between three small companies. Some people may have heard of them. Others I was not familiar with. Aerometric, a full-service geospatial solution provider, mostly in the area of photogrammetry and LiDAR and airborne imaging and data capture. PhotoScience, also providing similar services. And then a third company, Watershed Sciences, I was unfamiliar with, but they also specialize in applied airborne remote sensing. The three of them came together to form Quantum Spatial. And what it said in their press release is they plan to invest significantly in enhanced solutions, a family of geo apps, and a suite of cloud-based enterprise solutions. Here's my problem. These companies in the remote sensing business, trying to get into the analytics business, it looks like three companies were thrown together to create one company. Let's hope for the best. I don't mean to be too critical, but from the outside looking in, I'd have some questions about what success looks like for them in 2 to 3 years. If their business was, the core business was remote sensing, now they're trying to leverage what their CEO is saying, hey, the geospatial business is changing, we got to move. I don't fault them for that, but their base of experience is coming from someplace very different.
I had some issues with this too. I don't really understand what the distinguishing characteristic of this merged company is going to be. I was sort of disappointed that the press release was so buzzword compliant. So here's a sentence that just threw me off my socks. The company's consolidation will be seamless. Okay, good luck with that. And the other thing that really disturbs me is this is the boilerplate about the new Quantum Spatial company, and see if you can decipher this. Quantum Spatial is the largest provider of location-based tools, analytics, and data in North America, utilizing proprietary software tools and applications to create solutions that can be delivered in a tailored, fully hosted environment to provide clients with a unique portal through which they can better understand and interact with geospatial data.
That's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful, and that does not distinguish this new company from anything. And I don't know how they measured the largest provider of all that stuff in North America. I don't know what they're measuring. So I think that this company, while again not a bad idea to merge as the industry matures, but how are you going to distinguish yourself? There's got to be overlap in staff. They're going to have to rearrange some people, probably lose some people. And wow, get on that marketing. Tell us what this, who this new company is, because as you point out, I'm not even sure everybody was aware of the other three and even what they did. So there's a lot of work to be done, both on the integration of the company side and on the communication side.
These were three small regional companies primarily. I'm sure that some of them did work around the country, but I'd like to see them clear up their messaging and not make such bold statements unless they can provide the revenue numbers, and these are private companies. They got to provide the revenue numbers if that's what they're claiming. I do have a question with their positioning and their puffing in their marketing. Three, I wish them a lot of luck.
Oh, and we do have to give them credit though. The new name is pretty good, Quantum Spatial.
I do like it. Yes, absolutely. I think that was a good choice, because their names of their previous companies probably didn't necessarily attract much attention.
Yeah, and this has a nice modern feel to it, which
it does. Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that the ESRI Health GIS Conference will be held October 14th through 16th in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Attend the conference to learn how you can use GIS technology to better understand and improve health and human services. Visit esri.com/healthgis for more information and to register.
If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Send us a tweet at directionsmag or leave a comment where this podcast is posted. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.